This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Judge Tanya Acker. Judge Patricia DeMango. Judge Michael Corriero. Three judges, three opinions, one verdict. This is Hot Bench.
Killing it. Just crushing it. You see the numbers on Hot Bench?
Love this show.
Airs weekdays on CBS 2 here in Chicago at 2 p.m. around the country as you're listening. And intergalactically, check your local listings. And Judge Patricia DeMango in studio again. Great to see you.
It's great to be back here again. Thank you for inviting me.
Nice to have you. And it's a wacky world out there that comes down to one thing. If you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said, right?
Absolutely. Because at this point in life, I don't remember all that much, so it better be true.
You look fabulous. Are you kidding me? So let me ask you this. When you, of all the years, when somebody comes up in front of you, is your lie detector still pretty good? Not that you're not going to hear the evidence, not that you're not going to judge the case, but is your BS meter pretty good when somebody's in front of you?
I think it still is, and part of judging the case and part of making decisions is based on credibility and the credibility and the truthfulness of the witness, and so you really do need good BS radar, as you put it, in order to make those decisions and to reach those factual conclusions.
Explain how Hot Bench is different with a three-judge panel.
Well, you know, all the shows basically have one judge. They listen to the evidence. They render a verdict. The public, the viewers, never really get a look into what's going on in the minds of the bench.
Sure.
So here, with three judges, pretty much three opinions, we deliberate. We're in the deliberation room. We bounce ideas off one another. Sometimes we sway one another. Sometimes we don't. And that deliberation process, I think, is what the viewers have embraced. They just love it. Even in the legal community, when I go back to New York, even the people that I know that are lawyers, etc., they love that aspect
sure.
of it. They just love hearing what we're thinking.
Are you likely to be more lenient if somebody owns it and says, you know what, I did this, I was wrong, or are you, hey, you know what, you did it, you get the harsh penalty?
Well, if they own it, that's one less thing you have to deal with, because if they do it and you believe they've done it and they're lying, now you've got two issues that you're dealing with. So I think the best approach is to say the truth, which is if you did it, you did it. And then we can make an assessment. The most difficult thing in my mind about being a judge is making decisions that are based on facts that are accurate.
Not alternative facts.
Yeah.
Actual facts.
Actual facts.
Yeah.
So that really does help.
So when the three of you get in that room, you know, this Corriero guy's trouble. I just think he's there just to stir trouble up. What's going on with Corriero?
He has just added a new dimension to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, it seems to me, the public's embracing it. Our ratings have gone up. We're doing terrific.
3.5 million. Let me tell you something. In the fractured world of television, where there's 9,000 choices every second of every day, you know, you're beating Ellen, you're beating Kelly and whoever's sitting next to Kelly.
At the moment.
You guys are in a great run.
Yeah, we are really doing so well. It's so pleasing. It's exciting for us to know that, you know, anytime you guys know it better than anyone. Anytime you make any changes, you're always concerned how
sure.
the public is going to take it. They loved the change. We're happy. We work together well. We still have that chemistry. And he adds a dimension that didn't exist before.
Yeah, he's shifty, though. I want you to watch him.
You think I should keep my eyes open?
Yeah, I think you should watch him.
See, now I think my radar must have gone off because I thought he was pretty darn good.
But he's he's a bit of a flirt, too, you know. So just a wink here or there. But you've seen that act, too, you know, mostly from me.
Well, that's why I come back here.
Yeah, there you go. Judge Judy, of course, was the biggest name in this business, and she still is. But we lost an icon in TV judging just in the past week and a half or so when Judge Wapner died.
Oh, I know. How sad was that?
Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No, I never did. Never did. I've never met the other judges. The only judge I know is Judge Shineland, Judy Shineland.
Yeah, and Judge Judy is a great story because she had no interest in television. She was going to pull it out. Kind of was a lark when she started. But you had spent your career, you know, in the law doing what you were doing. Did you ever think it would blow up like this?
I didn't. But, you know, it was interesting because when I was on the bench 19 years, and while I was there, I had the type of personality that you see. I mean, I'm no different on the show. Maybe I'm even calmer on the show than I was because I was dealing with such heavy and serious cases on the bench. And the people in the courtroom, the lawyers, the reporters, the court officers, they say, you need a show. Judge, you need a show. And, you know, I used to go, yeah, from your mouth to Judge Judy's ears, from your mouth to here. And then all of a sudden, one day, I get this call from Judge Judy, and I'm thinking, somebody must have whispered to her. But it wasn't a goal of mine. It wasn't a goal. My goal was to stay on the bench and to rise to the level that I had when I left, which was the administrative judge in Brooklyn. And then this, you know, came along. And let me tell
you
something.
What did Judy see? Like a
thrilling.
What did Judy see in you? Like girl from the hood? Like, you know, there's something there with her.
Do I have a little hood in me? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Girl from the block. Like Jenny from the block.
Well, you know, she said when she was asking around that she phrased it, I'm looking for someone like me, only younger. That's how she said she phrased it. So I couldn't be more flattered. And I was thrilled. I'm loving every minute of it.
Have you ever had somebody who you've ruled against come back to you at some point and say, you were right? Or either I've turned my life around.
Or you were wrong. You know, where you were.
Well, I've never had anybody say I was wrong.
Right. But someone comes to you and says, you know what?
Well, I had the nerve to say.
You ruled against me, and hey, well, you called me on it.
I'm going to tell you, yes, I have. And I had a very specific situation with a young girl who was getting involved in criminal activity. She was a prostitute. Her pimp basically would come to court with her. And, you know, you couldn't get him away. She was on drugs. And at some point, I was almost waiting for her to do something wrong so I could put her in jail and get her off the drugs and get her away from him. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, she didn't show up one day. When she came back, I remanded her, put her in, kept her in. She cleaned up. She was pregnant. We didn't know it at the time. She had the baby. I let her go. And about 9 months later, after the baby, she came back with the baby and said, you saved my life. And my daughter was born drug-free because of you.
How important is that?
So that was
that's a career
very
maker.
Special moment for
sure.
me.
Yeah, without a doubt. When you go from attorney to bench, how big of a learning curve is it?
For me, it was not a very big learning curve. I had been a prosecutor for about 5.5 years, and then I clerked for some judges. So I was
you'd seen that part of the game.
I was already at that end. I was already at the bench and very, very familiar with the procedures and how. But it's still that first decision that you make that's yours. It's very hard. No matter how many times you can have a conversation with a judge and make a recommendation to that person, ultimately they own the decision. It's theirs. But when it's yours, when you have to suppress evidence that the police have seized and it's your decision, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've had the honor of sitting on a couple of juries in some pretty intense cases. And I mean honor. You know, because like everybody else, you get a jury duty notice and you go, oh, am I going to get out of this? And as a public figure, you think, well, they're going to throw you out right away. Well, in both cases, they kept me and I ended up serving as foreman on each jury. And I learned so much. But it's such a fulfilling thing, stressful, but fulfilling thing to be in a room with people you've never met. In this case, it was a week or so. And one case and a couple
criminal
days in the other. Both are criminal cases. Mm-hmm. And to go through that process and the interaction with the judges, I mean, you say, look, there's a lot of TV shows, the dramas that they do out there. You're not packing this into 60 minutes. We're talking about people's lives and real outcomes. Yeah. And in both cases, the judges in each case played real significant parts. We had a hung jury at one point, and the judge said, guess what? Keep working.
Yeah,
eventually he came to a decision.
He gave you that charge that says, we call it in New York, an Allen charge. And you go back out there and you say, you know, you've got to all get together because you're 12 great minds. And if it's not you 12, it's going to be another 12. So work on it.
And we got a decision, yeah.
But how because you've had the experience now, it is extremely difficult to be objective, to step back from your own personal feelings about an issue, and to do what you think is the right thing. Because you can't let, at least from my perspective on the bench, you can't let your personal feelings about an issue cloud it.
You've been so successful, obviously. I'm sure a lot of female judges look toward you as a mentor. What would you tell is it harder now or easier for women who are lawyers who want to be judges and aspire to maybe what you've done on a lower level?
I'm going to tell you that the bench has really represented the female population. So we do have – we are pretty much consistent with the public, you know, with the numbers. So, you know, the ratio. Right. So we do have a significant number of women. I think it's important for women to see other women in positions of power and success because they recognize they can get there as well. It's not an impossible task anymore. And they can come to you and say, what is it? Did you do something different or special? How does it work? So, you know, I think that whenever your numbers reflect the population demographics, it's great, and I think the bench is there now.
As the Hot Bench Show continues to grow and seemingly do all the right things to make more and more of you watch it, Justice Patricia DeMango may have a difficult case coming up because I feel that Kelly Ripa, who I like, at some point will commit a crime for a ratings boost to get on your show. Do you see that? Do you with me? Kelly may actually commit a crime to appear in front of you three.
Wow, I don't know. You know, she doesn't have to do anything really criminal. She could just, you know, she could just do something sneaky.
We're changing today. Yeah. It's sneaky people.
Right.
Well, it's great to have you back in Chicago. Safe travels wherever you go. And thanks for the entertainment and the education.
I love being here. I love you guys. And I love Chicago. So I'm thrilled to be here and come back.
CBS 2, 2 o'clock every day. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.